Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Titans lose 37-27 to Cincinnati. And Will Levis, 3 picks, 1 pick 6, 1 fumble lost, and a trip to the bench yesterday for the Titans. To help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm peachy. Robbie, how are you and your stupid Packers in their white uniforms?
Well, won 10 games. That was a potential playoff preview last night, and they smoked Seattle. I'm feeling good about it.
Oh, come on. Seattle, they're posers. We all know that.
Well, I know that, but that's what the playoff matchup would have been, so I'm looking forward to it. But now the Rams have passed them, so we'll see how that goes.
You know the great news for Titans fans is you got to watch that game and go, okay, Sam Howell is not an option.
My God. He's awful. No doubt about that. I didn't realize he threw 21 interceptions last year, but he did.
You know, my mom always told me, Corey, consistency is the mark of a champion.
Yeah, no doubt about that. 21 touchdowns, 21 picks for Sam Howell a year ago. Discovered that last night. So, Corey, Levis to the bench. Yeah, just a brutal day for him yesterday. 3 picks, 1 pick 6. He fumbled the ball as well. And Brian Callahan talking about, I mean, just had to make a move in the middle of the game yesterday.
Sure.
Does that move that he made yesterday signal anything to you beyond just yesterday's game? Is that an indictment from Callahan on Levis moving forward? How do you view his benching in the aftermath of it?
Well, look, I mean, what do you have, 3 turnovers on 7 plays?
Yeah.
I mean, I just think any reasonable person's going to say, all right, unless you're Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers or whoever, and you've got the skins on the wall at that point, you probably come out of the game. I thought he handled the situation, talking about Callahan, after the game as best he could to, you know, not pour gasoline on that fire. I think, you know, at some point you owe it to your team to make that move when things kind of go south and go south in a hurry and try to kind of reverse it. And Mason had a turnover, you know, himself, you know, on top of, you know, being able to lead the team. But, you know, they did right the ship, you know, a little bit. So, you know, it's going to be whatever he wants it to be. I consider this what I've considered it all along, and that is looking at Will Levis through the entire season. I felt that way when he had the stretch of 4 pretty good games. I told everybody, I'm not going to overreact to that. I'd say he's on the right path to being the guy now. You feel good about the direction he's headed in. But, you know, now you look at these 2 games against 2 subpar defenses, and you say, yeah, we don't like, you know, the direction of these last 2 games. So I think you can make an easy case to say he's going to start the last 3 because we need to get a full dose of what he is, how he responds to adversity, you know, if he's able to bounce back or not. And then if you want to sit him, you can just say, look, it's for the best interest of the football team that we move on. And nobody's going to sit here and go, well, you know, you really, I mean, you're 3-11. There's not a lot of wrong turns at this point.
Okay. Well, how do you interpret either choice, and what do you think Callahan will actually do?
You know, that's hard to say because we've only had him here for 1 year. So trying to figure out, you know, who he is and what he is. I just where the organization is, I would guess that they'll go back to Will because I don't think that they've got a lot to gain by going to Mason. Maybe you win, you know, I mean, shoot, I mean, Will could win as many games as Mason if he plays well. We don't know. But, you know, if you win, you know, 1 or 2, if you say you win 2 of these games, you know, down the stretch, does that really do a whole heck of a lot for you with goodwill, with fans and everything? Probably not. You're still 5-12. So I still think it's in your best interest to get the best answer you can about the guy taking your snaps and if you think you can go forward with them or not.
So, Corey, you know, obviously a lot of Titans fans really mad today, mostly at Levis, which deservedly so. I guess I'm looking at this more in the long-term view of it. Like, this would be a great year to not have to draft a quarterback from the standpoint of there's just not a ton of great options that I think are available to you.
Yeah, but you can't reach.
Yeah, like you can't reach. And the last place you want to be as an organization is to be forced into picking a quarterback. Now, having said that, I mean, the total picture right now for Levis this year is not good. I mean, it's not good. It's well below expectation of where we thought this would be by the end of it. And we'll see, you know, if they go forward and he's got three more games, that's a part of the evaluation. But if this is it and this is what you've got to go on these 2 years of Levis and you get to the end of this if you're Callahan, like right now if the season ended today, I don't know how you don't have a different starting quarterback in here next year. Am I crazy?
No, you're not crazy, which is why I say you start in the last three games. So you get, you know, so you can really say, you know, we gave this every chance that we could. And because I agree with you, I don't think there's a ton of great options after that. You know, the hard part for Brian Callahan and company is deciding with Will Levis, not just what is he, but what can he truly become? Because I don't know that any of us thought that Malik Willis could come to near what he's been this year after 2 years, correct?
Correct.
I mean, we thought he was lucky to be able to take the snap after 2 years. I mean, it was bad. And then he comes in here and just smokes him. You know, did anyone think that Sam Darnold would be what he is this year?
No.
Did anyone think that Geno Smith would have the career he's gone on to have?
No.
No. So that's my point is, do you look at him and say, it may take some time, and we're willing to put in some time to get across the finish line with him because we think he can do it? Now, that's a leap of faith. Your job counts on that, and that's what makes that very difficult, okay, is you have to be willing to bet your job as an NFL head coach, which has been your dream your whole life, that this is the guy who can do it. I mean, even if you don't make that bet and you change it, you're still betting the next guy saves your job because he's not going to get a third quarterback. That's just not the way this thing works. And so, you know, that's what the decision is. You know, I don't know how much of it's on Brian Callahan. I don't know how much of it's on Amy. I don't know how much of it's on Ran, you know, at this point. But, you know, there's those factors that get involved into this. But it's, again, the long-term projection, because we get caught into these short-term projections. If you recall, Steve McNair was booed early in his career and people wanted Neil O'Donnell. Okay? Well, they stuck with Steve and it turned out pretty well. I am not saying that Will Levis is Steve McNair. I'm just saying that it's the projection of the position and of the player and what you think they are and what you think that they're capable of and what do you truly believe and where are you going to push the chips on the table.
So taking the Levis, you mentioned Callahan, taking the Levis discussion to him, it is less than a full season together, but obviously Callahan expressed excitement. Callahan came in and the biggest thing on his resume was this guy has been with great quarterbacks. He's about developing quarterbacks. How much of this year do you think should be on him, or how much scrutiny should he be under for the overall inconsistency and poor play of Levis?
That's a good question. Look, I think coaching is hard. Number one, having done very little of it, but the little of it I've done, I know it can be maddening and difficult because, you know, like it goes to the missed passes against Jacksonville. Was that a coaching situation? I mean, he's got the X's and the O's drawn, but then you can say, well, why isn't Will making those throws then? You know, is he not being coached to be able to process that and make those throws? And you know, that's, I always get into this thing of, you know, great players have a hard time being coaches because they just say, well, we'll do this. I did this. it's just not that easy. And, you know, I'm sure what Brian teaches Matthew Stafford, or, you know, he doesn't teach Peyton Manning anything, but, you know, teaches, you know, any of these other guys, you know, it isn't the same as teaching Will or teaching Mason, you know, because no two guys process it the same way. I think, you know, it's a bigger question with Will than with the team, because, like, and I'm hemming and hawing here a little bit, you know, with the team, I thought we saw him coach to his team and his personnel better yesterday. They ran the ball at the goal line. They scored at the goal line. And I thought he learned from that and did a better job with that, responding to what his team is and what they do well. And so he's got to figure that out with his quarterback. And, you know, you would say those four games when he came back from injury, he did a good job coaching him, right? Because the kid came back, he had two interceptions in four games. He was averaging 240 yards per game. They still needed to score more points, but he wasn't making the big mistake. And he was taking to the coaching. So then, you know, what happened the last 2 weeks, and is that on the head coach? At some point, players have to play. And so, you know, that's not writing Brian Callahan a free pass, but, you know, it's the position, okay? It's the pressure of the position that you've got to figure some of this stuff out. And for some guys, it just takes longer, and for some guys, it just never happens. And so I'm going to lean more on the quarterback than on the coach in this one, but that's just my view from 30,000 feet, and I'm not in love with it.
Yeah, no doubt. Corey, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us, and just continues to be a lot of fun to discuss this football team.
You know, it's interesting because it's like you brought up early on, it's an interesting position to be in a year where it's going to be difficult to draft a quarterback.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see Sam Darnold and his success in Minnesota, and you say, would he be that successful here with this team and this roster and what he's doing? Because he's got some pretty good players around him, you know, in Minnesota. And maybe he would be, maybe he wouldn't. That's the great mystery, the great unknown. And then, you know, what are your other options? I mean, outside of the draft, what are their other options? Jake Browning, is he an option?
Go get my guy, Jameis. If we're going to lose, at least be fun.
Jameis has 12 interceptions in the last six games.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
That ain't changing either, by the way.
Yeah, no, it's not. That's who he is.
Sign me up.
And how many points did they score yesterday?
I didn't even see what they did yesterday.
Seven.
Okay.
It's the Chiefs, man. So it's the mighty, mighty Chiefs.
Oh, all right. So we're just going to excuse it. Look, you look at a guy from a distance, and then you just go, oh, yeah, well, we'll just put him in there.
Yeah.
And then you get him here, and you know what you say? God, he really stinks. Whose decision was this?
Yeah, exactly.
Look at his numbers. You knew he stunk. What were you thinking? Okay? So let's cool the Jameis talk. And unless you want him to come in as your backup, it's just, I mean, Jameis, Gardner Minshew, they're the same person, all right? They can flash in a game and put up some points. But more than likely than not, they're going to commit turnovers to lose games because that's who they are. All right. They've both been in the league long enough where you know that's who they are. And that's the question is, you know, we're 2 years in, who is Will Levis? And we're still trying to answer that. We think we've got a more definitive answer, but you have to be willing to accept, is that the final answer?
Yep. Corey, great stuff, man. We'll talk to you next week.
I am a damn genius.
You are.
God, how do you guys handle this?
It's unbelievable. Corey Curtis from News 2 joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Here on the program. We'll react to what Corey had to say. Plus, I've got a question that I want to toss Rex Rhodes away that I would love to get Titans fans' answers on as well. We'll do that next. Robbie and Rex Rhodes, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Appreciate Corey Curtis for being with us in the last segment. So, Joe, we've gotten deep into the Will Levis future of the Titans quarterback position conversation after his benching yesterday. We'll continue to do so. We'll continue to take your thoughts on that. One thing I'd love to get your thoughts on now in the aftermath of all the discussion we've had today. Let's say we get to the end of this season in the next few weeks here, and Amy Adams Strunk sits down with Rand Carthon after the year, sits down with Brian Callahan after the year, and approaches them with this and says, guys, this is the end of the year. It's obviously been a very disappointing season, and quite frankly, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if you guys are coming back next year or if you're not. I haven't made that decision yet. So you tell me, why do you deserve to come back next year? What do you deserve to keep this role for? Like, why, as we look at the future of this franchise and we look at what we've seen from this point, why do you deserve to keep your job? What's your response if you're a Carthon or a Brian Callahan?
Well, they're different, obviously. I mean, for Callahan, my response is, well, look, I just got started, and all due respect, the reason people usually get coaching jobs is because they're not because they're taking over great football teams. I didn't. I've made mistakes. You know, I don't know how much you do that. How much you'd be like, look, I will take accountability to a point, but I came into a bad team. I have a program in place. I have things I want to build. I need better players and I need more time. And, you know, I guess if you're Callahan, you're going to try to point to the good things. Hey,
it's a long list.
Would you like to sit down, Amy, and watch that Houston game again? Yeah. Let's watch that front to back. What do you think? Huh? Let's just watch that. But
remember I had coaching that moved you to tears?
Exactly. You know, but that's, I mean, the case if I'm him is, you know, look, I'm just getting started and I took over a bad football team, and certainly I can be better, but also we need to be better. Like we need to have better players. If I'm Carthon, I mean, look, it's been 2 years, and sure, you know, it's a different head coach each year, but ultimately I think my case, if I'm Carthon, is look, Snead is still a great player, and he's going to be back next year, and you're going to see. Awuzie is a great player, and he's on the field now. He's going to be back there next year. We got Brownlee in there. We got some parts of this team that are good, you know. And let's see, what else you can point to. Latham's going to be a really good player. And of course, again, let's watch film of earlier in the season and not recently when I tell you that. You go through, Sweat. Did you see Sweat running with the ball the other day? That's just going to be a fantastic pick for us. I mean, I'm going through the things that look good. I'm trying to minimize the things that look bad. It's a lot longer list, right? Of course. And, I mean, that's it. Like, making your case is, you know, obviously there's a double the track record for Carthon, a very different jobs. They go together. Callahan has some say, just as Vrabel did in the decisions and personnel. And, you know, ultimately Carthon hired Callahan. That's another thing about this, right? Is like, also you loved this coach,
yep,
Rand. So why? Right. But, and that's going to be part of my argument too. If I'm Rand Carthon, Cali is going to be great. Like, it's early. I know it's rough now. I am going to say, look at Detroit. Look at Detroit. Everybody wanted to run those people out of there. And yes, you can counter that, but I'm going to try. I'm going to say that. I'm going to talk about other places that started rough early, got it rolling. Cincinnati's another one of them.
I think the point of everything that we just laid out there, like, it's becoming way tougher of a sell to me. It's becoming way tougher of a sell. And I'm with you. I think it's two very different things. Like Callahan, I think it's a much easier sell than Carthon. Like, you point to, this is the situation that I inherited. I took this team over after you just fired the previous coach, and the quarterback just isn't good enough. And when I get my own quarterback in here, then we can really start to work and build towards the future, and we'll get better. Carthon, I mean, look, you could still point to the drafts that Robinson screwed up if you want to, right? Like, if you're him, you can say, look, I mean, Burks was a bad pick. Farley's a bad pick. Wilson's a bad pick. It's hard to overcome that. It's going to take some time. You could do that. I just, the thing I keep coming back to that Herndon laid out there in his tweet that we talked about, and that I continue to watch on a weekly basis, who's getting better? Like, is Will Levis getting better? We thought so for a while, and then the last two games, he's been awful. Is J.C. Latham getting better right now? Hard for me to say that. Like, who is – what are the bright spots to point to in terms of the improvement of this team? Like, you brought up Snead there. Like, if I may be Adam Strunk, I'm looking at him and I'm saying, well, he couldn't get on the field this year. And you were the one that pulled the trigger and made the trade. So, do you just think he's just going to be available for 17 games next year? Like, how do you know that? How could you possibly have any confidence in that? It's just – to me, it's becoming harder and harder of a sell with this group right now.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. You know, the whole – the improving thing, obviously, when you say who's getting better, that, I mean, that's a coaching thing, right? You know, I mean, ultimately, it's a coaching thing. I mean, it can be, I guess it can be a bad player evaluation thing too. Like, you know, Latham personally, you know, I still believe Latham's going to be good. I think Latham has a lot going for him in terms of the intangibles, and I think he's too talented to not be good. He's having a rough run right now. That's the thing. It just makes it harder, right? Like, I believe that, and I'm sure Rand probably believes that, and Callahan does too. But if you're Amy Adams Strong, it's like, well, I just watched the kid just – I mean, he just got – or last week, the QB just took a missile to the back because he didn't even touch the guy who was blocking.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, no, it's – everything's a tough sell right now. But it, I very much – you know, that's the thing. Like, does that conversation happen? Probably not,
right? I don't know.
I mean, it would be great, you know, like if, you know, like this, like if this was like, if the Titans had an in-season Hard Knocks, or if this was a football movie, then you have to have that conversation. But to me, it's probably going to be more like these guys are just going to do their jobs for the year and then just kind of hold tight on that Monday, right? Just grip the desk and just hope to not get a call.
Well, and you know, PK said it earlier on our show. I mean, the sense that he gets is that she's leaning towards being patient with all this. I know that's not what a lot of Titans fans want to hear, but PK did throw that out there earlier on the show. And that's not nothing. Like that's not PK just grabbing that out of thin air, Joe.
No, exactly. I think this whole thing's coming back next year. I do. But I even feel better about that based on what he said. And I know a lot of people don't want to hear it, but I think that's what's going to happen.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Take your thoughts on the coaching staff, the front office, the benching of Will Levis. What does all of it mean for the future of this organization? More on that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Got some tickets to give away to see Belmont men's basketball as they take on UC Irvine at the Fisher Center this Thursday night. Be caller 3, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Also, check out this week's Nashville's Best Deal from Brewster's Real Ice Cream in Hendersonville. Brewster's offers handcraft cakes, pies, and ice cream flavors of peppermint, Oreo, eggnog, and gingerbread, man. Enjoy the magic of homemade happiness this season. Visit thegamenashville.com/deals and get half off a $50 gift card while supplies last. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Joe, I'll be very interested to see what Brian Callahan has to say today in his weekly Monday press conference on the Will Levis front. Levis goes to the bench yesterday. We've talked with PK and Corey Curtis, who have both kind of thrown it out there that they expect the Titans to go back with Levis. You know, I agree with him from the standpoint of, like, what does throwing Mason Rudolph out there really do to serve your purposes if you're the Tennessee Titans? But I am interested to see, like, we've seen it before in this league, Joe. Sometimes you reach kind of the point of no return with a quarterback. I'm not saying that that's what happened yesterday with Callahan. I'm not saying that's not what happened yesterday with Callahan either. I'm interested to see what his thoughts are on Will Levis later today.
Yeah, for sure. Is he going to make a definitive he's back in the starting, or, you know, we're going to go with Mason, or, you know, guys, just we'll just have to see type thing. You know, three choices. And going to be very interesting. Yeah, look, I'm of the mind that I'd go with Levis the rest of the way. I'd go with Levis the rest of the way because it's still continued evaluation. I mean, and it can be just because I think most people would agree. Again, we've got the hardcore Levis supporters now who are like, yeah, it's just not he's not the guy. But the evaluation doesn't have to be just evaluation to see if he's the guy. I mean, you think you're going to find very few people who are like, no, I think ultimately he's going to be a great QB for the Titans. Someone pointed on the Texas line, Robbie, like, well, what'll happen is either he'll stay with the Titans and stink, or he'll go somewhere else and then he'll be great. This is the lot in life of the Titans fan. But you're still evaluating, is he okay? Maybe he can be the placeholder next year. With the rookies drafted, he can be the backup next year. I mean, it's like there's just no upside to me with Mason Rudolph. And frankly, although I know Bill and Brian Callahan badly want wins in these last three games. So that's where it gets interesting. Again, if I'm the front office ownership, it's like, look, at this point, the embarrassment's happened. It's a disaster of a season already. So, frankly, how about the highest pick pot at this point with three games left? I mean, that's the mindset. They're not going to tank.
They're not going to tank. But, like, if you're Brian Callahan, do you want wins right now? Like, I get it, job preservation. But, like, if you win two of the next three, is that really changing how people view this season? And, like, if I'm Callahan, I'm like, how do you get me a quarterback? Like, what's the best route to getting a quarterback?
Yeah, but I do think you do want to win. I think first of all, you don't know. You have no idea what this owner's going to do, but you do know that a little more than a year ago, she basically wanted everyone to know that Vrabel was coming back, and then 6 weeks after that, nope, he's gone.
Yeah.
So I think you do want to win, and I do believe, like, again, we've talked about it, but like we talked about earlier in the show, I do believe in the idea of getting a good feeling with a team and winning some games and carrying that into the next season. Like,
but isn't it too late for that? Like, there's 3 weeks left.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I've seen it before where, like, again, the wonderful Detroit Lions, history book. But there was maybe it was Barry's rookie year. They were crap. They were like 2-8, 2-9, and they won like 5 in a row at the end of the year. And I know that's more than 3, but then they carried that and actually were good the next year. Was it because of that? No, I don't know. But I think there's still guys you're coaching. I think these guys still want to win. They're out there, like, again, playing this game, the violence of this game. They want to win. I think there's value in trying to win if you're Brian Callahan on multiple fronts. But the Levis thing is still like I think it goes into, but if you don't, well, then there's a possible benefit there too. There's no real argument for Mason Rudolph.
No, I don't think there's an argument for Mason Rudolph either. But now I think the general takeaway that I've got from the day is if you're not there already, you are drifting pretty darn close into, okay, well, there's got to be a different quarterback in here next year. And a different choice
for starter, like either a veteran who you signed to. A lot of people have thrown out Daniel Jones today. I mean, that's not very inspiring.
Yeah,
I think he's probably going into the backup vortex along with a lot of these guys. But Daniel Jones, one good season with the Giants is well beyond what we've seen from Will Levis at any point. So it's either as a backup to whoever they can figure out on the veteran front, or I think as a placeholder competitor with the rookie. And then of course, he probably starts 3-4 games. They go 1-3. He's not good. And they go to the rookie.
Well, it's just when this, if this doesn't work out with Levis and this is the way they choose to go. And look, as bad as it was yesterday, they may get to the end of this season and say, you know what? We don't love our options out there. We're going back with Levis. And we're seeing how it goes. And that's going to go over like a lead balloon with Titans fans. I understand that. But that's where they're at right now. They're just not in a good spot. Right now, I mean, their draft position didn't change at all yesterday. They lose another game, and they're still at 6th overall right now. Which, again, the positioning and the bickering back and forth between the strengths and weaknesses of these quarterbacks in the draft is going to change 1,000 times over between now and the time the first round comes here. So I get that. But if you're not in one of those top 2 or 3 positions to draft a Shedeur Sanders or a Cam Ward, and it ends up breaking out that you just don't really love any quarterbacks after that, your franchise is in a spot where you are in the quarterback wilderness searching for an answer there. And until you find an answer there, like, it's hard to get yourself out of this stuff. Like, then you're right back into the same cycle that you entered this season coming into is, well, does Levis have anything? If not, with the rookie quarterback, does he have anything? Like, you're just restarting the clock on all this, and that goes back to the larger conversation with the organization as a whole. When in the world are they pulling themselves out of it? I mean, it's been now 2.5 years of brutal football, this being the worst of it this year, and it feels like you're about to dip right back into the wilderness of quarterback purgatory, searching for that next one, and you just may not be in a good spot to find it this offseason.
9-29 is now the number. Last 38 games, 9-29. And that's the problem, too. It's like the evaluation of quarterbacks, and more people were making this point when they were like, I think Levis could be the guy. You don't have a team that helps a quarterback. So, yeah, you go, I don't know, you go into the second round or third round. No, they don't have a third round pick. Second round, and you take Carson Beck. Right. Or yep. Whatever, you take a flyer on one of those guys who isn't at the very top of the draft. And it's like, OK, well, are you going to fix your offensive line this offseason? You know, are you going to have enough on the outside? Is your defense going to, force turnover? You don't have a good situation for a quarterback. So it's a lot easier to keep going in and out of quarterback purgatory when you don't have a good team to give the QB a chance. Everybody wants to find the quarterback that can drag everyone along with them, but you're just trying to find a good quarterback who can win with a good team, and you have neither.
Yeah, the thing I keep coming back to is, do you have full confidence that these are the right people to make the decision on the next quarterback? Like, that's another big part of this. Because right now, like, the best argument for retaining Brian Callahan and Rand Carthon is, well, continuity and patience. Now, what are the good reasons for continuity and patience? There's not a ton to point to, as we just kind of laid out with what's going wrong and what's going right with this football team right now. But, like, if Amy Adams Strunk wants to keep this regime together, like, I guarantee you one of the things that she'll point to, if she says anything at all about it, is we believe in continuity, and we gotta see this thing through. And right now the evidence just doesn't support that this group has any clue what they're doing right now. And that's – maybe they do, maybe they don't, but the evidence is not there that they do at this point. And that's a heck of a gamble to take on selecting the next quarterback if that's the case.
Yeah. So you could – this sounds – I know this sounds wonderful, I'm sure. But so you could look at it like, okay, this offseason, coaching staff, everybody coming back, Levis coming back, right? Sure. Like, that's probably right now the one thing that Titans fans do not want to hear. But then, if it goes the way it would appear it would go, then you could do the full reset of new front office, new coach, pick your quarterback, everybody on the same timeline. The problem is, again, the misery between now and that point is not great. And again, and if you're these guys running the team, you're like, no, we have to win next year.
Right.
Got to win next year. So then how do you do that? Then you're just desperately just doing the most you can do at veteran quarterback and hoping you can patch together an 8-9 win season?
It's a horrible spot to be in.
It's a bad situation.
It's an absolutely horrible spot to be in. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Final thoughts on the Titans' loss to Cincinnati, the benching of Will Levis. Got a lot of your thoughts to get to as well. We'll do that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. 1025 The Game and Cromwell Media have teamed up with the Nashville Predators for Coats for Kids, benefiting the Boys and Girls Club of Middle Tennessee. Donate a new or slightly used coat at the game studio and the Ford Ice Centers in Antioch, Bellevue, and Clarksville. Also, this Friday, the game will be at Ford Ice Center in Bellevue from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., taking donations, giving away swag, and tickets to upcoming Preds games as well. Coat donations will be accepted at the Preds home game coming up this Saturday against the Kings. For more information, visit thegamenashville.com/coats. Joe, some more numbers to kind of throw on top of everything we've discussed today. So Buck Rising put this out there earlier. Yesterday's loss to the Bengals, the seventh loss by the Titans of 10 or more points this season, which is an astronomical number in the NFL. Mike Herndon adding to that, says in 2022 and 2023, so both of those seasons, when this whole bad wave of football started, Titans had 8 losses of 10-plus games, or of 10-plus points in 34 games. So 8 in 34 games by 10-plus points, 7 losses in 14 games this year by 10-plus points. That kind of shows you where things are right now.
Yeah, that's a very good stat. Yeah, I mean, they just – it's losing, continuing, in this 9 and 29 stretch that goes back to, well, the plane from Green Bay.
It does.
But the losing is now more decisive and more embarrassing this year. So that's definitely something to keep in mind. Apologies to everybody on the text line who I didn't get to today. Apologies for wasting all of our time with Quindarius, who will get my revenge. However, Santa in Portland just sent this out. I want to read this. He says, "Folks, I bring tidings of great joy and good cheer to all Titans fans. Be patient. I, too, am out on Levis and a few others, but I'm not yet out on Callahan or Rand. Give them one more year to fix the foundational issues. Hold the QB position together with baling wire and chewing gum and see what happens. It's all going to work out fine. Merry Christmas." Thank you, Santa in Portland. What a dose of positivity.
Thank you, Santa. We appreciate that. It's your time of year to shine.
Not sure I agree, but thank you for your message.
It's
different than most of them.
It is. I mean, look. It's when you turn the ball over 6 times, 4 of them coming from your quarterback, and you lose by double digits again. I mean, you kind of knew today was going to be like that. Laverne on YouTube says, "I'd tank another year if I knew you could get Arch Manning." This is from Laverne on YouTube. I mean, that's the thing. What's the best path to quarterback? If we are in pretty much agreement that it's not Levis, how do you find the quarterback? Because that's still the most important question that faces the organization. Beyond who the general manager is, beyond who the head coach is, all those things are important. But the most important part of this organization moving forward is, how do you find an answer at quarterback? I mean, that's – until they get that figured out, Joe, it doesn't really matter who the coach and general manager is.
Right. I love the Arch stuff too. You know, so Arch Manning isn't a starter. Yep. He's fast. He's a backup to Quinn Ewers, who's okay. And the NFL doesn't really have a lot of interest in him. I know Texas fans want him to play, but like, so because his last name is Manning and we know he can run well, you're sure he's going to be the number one pick and a worthwhile number one pick in 2026 that you got to wait for, right?
But by the way, like, he also kind of seems like the guy that's probably staying at college the next 2 years anyway. Like,
that could be.
He's taking kind of the unconventional route here and kind of feels like that may be what happens there too. So like, there's no guarantee he's coming out next year. Look, I think Arch Manning's going to be good. I would like to see him like start a full season of college football before I come to some, you know, grand takeaway of what his NFL future is going to be.
Right. But that's the thing. It's always, you know, and I get it. I do. I mean, look, going into the year, we were joking about Arch and Nico, right? Yeah. And now you think, is Nico going to be, as from what we've seen of him this year, in a year from now, like the NFL's like, oh my God, he's at the top of the draft.
I mean, maybe, but I don't know if I'd guess that today.
Right. It's hard. Quarterback is hard, but it's so much harder when you have crap around the quarterback. You know, Ryan Tannehill comes in here and it's like, he was fine. I mean, he was pretty good with Miami, better than some people realize, but all of a sudden comes in here, gets blocking a Hall of Fame running back, A.J. Brown,
yep.
Vrabel defense, and holy crap, look how good that guy is.
Well, and that's the other problem if you're drafting a quarterback. If you draft a quarterback, that's another spot somewhere else that you're not drafting to address the holes in your lineup this offseason. And then if you don't do that, if you say, well, we'll fix the other positions and then get the quarterback later, I mean, right now your option is bringing Will Levis back and or diving into the free agent pool of what is not a good free agent class right now, with the exception of Darnold. And again, I believe Darnold actually becomes available in free agency once I see it, because I think Minnesota would be nuts to not bring him back.
Yeah, agree. At least tag. At least do that. I guess they could trade then. But, yeah, I would agree with you. They're too good to let him go. Someone says the A-Rod. Mannings have already – wait, who?
Rodgers. Look good yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's – he's got a home. He can come right and pull right in the garage. He's all ready to go. So apparently the Mannings have already said Arch is not coming. I missed that if they did. That's probably – I mean, I believe it.
I mean, he's not – he hadn't transferred anywhere. He hadn't started. I mean, but he's going to next year. Like, he kind of seems like he may just be there 4 years, and then we'll see where it goes. But, again, I'd like to see him start an entire season college football, and then we can make a determination on Arch Manning after that. Good show today. Appreciate everybody's participation. We'll have a lot more to discuss on the Titans and the Will Levis front this week. Interested to see Brian Callahan's press conference later today. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.